Well, good morning, everybody.
Good to see some familiar faces out there today.
You know, I've, over the last week, as I'm sorting through, you know, yet again, more and more tasks that need to be done, whether they be at work or at home or in preparation for different events that are going on, I find myself having difficulty ordering and prioritizing all of these things and making sure that they all get done. And it was, must have been, I don't know, yesterday or maybe it was the night before, but I realized that that was my problem. I was trying to prioritize and order these things and put them in a particular order in a particular way and do them at a particular time, but that was me. I didn't fully, I guess maybe understand what it meant or means to, go to the Lord and have Him order these things in your life. And to trust Him by faith to see that, you know, well, although what I think needs to be done, these 14 steps in order to arrive at, you know, the end, you know, the accomplishment of this goal, well, the way that He does things is different than the way that we do things and the way that we think of things. So yeah, I think I spent a week where I was trying to do what I wanted to do, thinking that I was serving Him, when in fact, it was probably the farthest from, you know, the truth of the matter, which was I wasn't serving Him, I was serving myself. And it, you know, coming to the realization that, you know, I may not see the steps, I may not see, you know, the end, you know, the accomplishment of these things clearly, and to just trust and go out and take action by faith, it's a hard thing to do. But we see that, seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. See, I wasn't doing that. I had a plan in my mind, and I was going to do it. And by the full force and might of Scott, I was going to bring it to pass. And, well, that ain't going to happen. And that's humbling. You know, and to stand here and talk about it is, hey, it ain't comfortable. Hey, yet again, Scott was an idiot this week. You know, it seems to be a continuous repetition here. But I hope that, you know, as I learn these things, and as I step forward in more, as I put more and more of my faith on Him, then I can shed myself of these things and move closer to Him and accomplish what it is that I actually want, which is to serve Him. And we can't serve Him in a way that, I guess, we understand or we want to. We have to serve Him in a way that He wants us to serve Him. Otherwise, we're not serving Him. We're yet doing what we want to do. So, as I move forward into the next week and the rest of this day, you know, there are things that I need to get done and accomplish. But I have more of a peace about those things and realize that, you know, if the Lord wants something done or wants something to happen, He can move. He can make it happen. And what I need to do is what's before me this day. Not worry about tomorrow. Not worry about yesterday. Because the only thing that we have is right now. There's no guarantee for tomorrow or whichever. And that's where we need to be.
Well, I love Scott's comment on familiar faces because other than me, it's his family, which I suspect he's most familiar with. You know, the songs we sang today go along with what you were saying, Scott, and also what has been on my heart and mind. First, as you spoke, seek to become a servant whom the Lord would call faithful, and also, even as we join together to do, to exhort one another to just that. Shew me thy ways, O Lord. Teach me thy paths. Lead me in thy truths and teach me. I found a new way of living. I found a new life divine. I've got the fruit of the Spirit. I'm abiding in the vine. You know, last Tuesday's Bible study, the men are going through Acts now. And if you haven't heard it, I suggest you listen to the Acts Bible study, even as there was the Romans one before that was a great blessing. But one of the things that came up at the end in chapter 4 of Acts was that the people were of one accord. And in that, Paul brought up that they didn't judge one another. They looked at all that they had as in common. And so where one had a need, another brought provision. And I thought about that because the conversation went and began with Steve saying that he wasn't certain he had experienced one accord. And he made the comment that we all have gathered together and been in one place, but not that experience of one accord. And, you know, it's interesting because we always look at the word, or that isn't fair to say, but we oftentimes look at the word of God separate from our kind of earthly lives in the sense of our daily tasks. We look at it in the sense of going out and doing something under the title of ministry. And I, of course, have joined together with Scott and Carrie in service to Steve at the law office, and it should branch out into other things. And, you know, there isn't a one accord there yet, and I speak from my own experience, but there isn't. And there is a couple of things for me that have to change for me to be a good servant in that situation, because I'm there to serve under Steve's instruction and direction that which is needed. Now, isn't that really what you were saying, Scott? Isn't really God... We're here to serve in accordance with his instruction, in accordance to his need, his oversight. And one thing is that it isn't in accordance with what I am asked to do in the law office or for the law office if I'm at home. Isn't really what I want to do. It's not like the things I enjoy. And it is hard, I find it hard oftentimes to settle in and take that responsibility. And when I say that, the responsibility means that I actually believe I can do it and do it thoroughly so that it is done and Steve doesn't have to do it. I think when we look at ourselves, we do things in a cursory way. So we do them, but we don't take the full responsibility. Sometimes that responsibility means we have to go and ask for instruction or oversight or explanation or whatever, or help. But the idea that if God has given us a task or in the workforce or in a home, if we are given a task, that it is actually within our capability to do it and do it so that it is done and it is not laid upon anyone else to have to pick up and do it. That's really what God wants, isn't it? A people who he can trust to do in accordance with his will that which he has given them to do, so that somebody else doesn't have to do their work and then come and do yours too. Now, there is without a doubt an interaction. We're learning and growing. There's grace and mercy. And we are to war the good warfare of obedience through those things, but not be slothful relying upon them. I know that one thing that... in that is diligence, to learn to be diligent. And these are not the things that are comfortable or desirous of us in our natural man, because we're being asked to be diligent about not what we want to do, but what God's asking us to do. And you stop and think the way the Lord has laid his plan out in a family, you have children, and children know nothing. Just like a person who comes and accepts the Lord as God's child, we go from the kingdom of this world and all the knowledge that we have in the flesh, and we, by faith, put that off to learn his ways. And as parents, you seek to cause that to take place in your own children, both by the requirement of obedience, done in a long-suffering, loving manner, even as it is done to us. But as they grow, you give them responsibility. And they're going to mess up. They're going to fall. But you teach them in that one that they can actually take that responsibility and walk it out in accordance with your will and in accordance with your instruction and not accept anything less. Not to berate a person, but because isn't that what we're seeking to do? And as we learn to serve, as a child learns to serve someone other than himself, you can then actually begin to give him responsibilities. But you can't until that happens, and it's the truth with us too. We in this body have been given the revelation of the Word as few other have been willing to receive. Whether they've been given it and rejected it or not given it at all, you know, it's both. We have been given a revelation and an understanding by which we need to exercise ourselves. And I was reading because there is no way we'll ever become in one accord until we quit serving ourselves, literally, and choose rather to serve God. And that comes in a practical sense in our workplaces, in our homes, in our submitting to those who have the rule over us. That's where we exercise our faith in the lordship of Christ Jesus, not in some spiritual mindset of something, but in the actual submitting to his word. And that's part of his word. And I read Matthew 25 today, so I'm just going to go down and begin to read it. It's a long chapter. I don't know if I'll read it all. Most of Matthew's red letter is in the sense of Jesus directly being quoted. Then shall the kingdom of heaven be likened unto 10 virgins, which took their lamps and went forth to meet the bridegrooms. And 5 of them were wise, and 5 were foolish. So they're all about, the bridegroom is the same, right? And there were 10 virgins. 5 were wise and 5 were foolish. They that were foolish took their lamps and took no oil with them, but the wise took oil in their vessels with their lamps. While the bridegroom tarried, they all slumbered and slept. And at midnight there was a cry made, "Behold, the bridegroom cometh, go ye out to meet him." Then all those virgins arose and trimmed their lamps, and the foolish said unto the wise, "Give us of your oil, for our lamps are gone out." But the wise answered, saying, "Not so, lest there be not enough for us and you, but go ye rather to them that sell and buy for yourselves." And while they went to buy, the bridegroom came, and they that were ready went in with him to the marriage, and the door was shut. Afterward came also the other virgins, saying, "Lord, Lord, open to us." And he answered and said, "Verily I say unto you, I know you not. Watch therefore, for ye know neither the day nor the hour wherein the Son of Man cometh." I'm going to stop there for a minute, because if we live by the rule and that fear of God so that we serve him every day, as though we're going to be accountable actually for that day's service. You know what I'm saying? Where we have to begin to recognize that if we don't choose him this day and he comes, where are we going to be? You know what I'm saying? For the kingdom of heaven is as a man traveling into a far country who called his own servants and delivered unto them his goods. Now, isn't that what he has done for each of us? He's called us as his servants. We have made confession of him and chosen his lordship. Well, geez, all 10 of those virgins called him Lord. I just want to point out. And unto one he gave 5 talents, to another 2, and to another 1, to every man according to his several ability, and straightway took his journey. Then he that had received the 5 talents went and traded with the same and made other 5 talents. And likewise he that had received 2, he also gained other 2. But he that had received 1 went and digged in the earth and hid his Lord's money. After a long time the Lord of those servants cometh and reckoneth with them. Now, I want to stop there too, because, you know, obviously these aren't talents like, well, I can sew. I best be going out and sewing more, you know what I mean? It's not that kind of talents. It's the man's goods. He gave stewardship of his goods unto these 3 servants. And 2 of them increased his master's goods, and 1 did nothing but hide it, so that it would not lose value, but he did nothing with it. And it, you know, the Lord was gone for a long time. 2 of the servants continued to serve during that time. 1 was slothful. And this is where we have to, by faith, believe God. Because our natural man is going to sink at every turn. It is why he says, don't forsake fellowship. Because our natural man, when left to itself, is going to sink. It is why he says to submit to them who have the rule over you. Because they're going to shine a light so that you can see and change. We all need seeing and changing. Go and read, I think it's in Hebrews, where God talks about he chasteneth those who he loves. Let me just go there, because there's a reason why he doesn't. Let me see if I can find it real quick. And it's in Hebrews 12. He talks about, starting with verse 6, it says, for whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth and scourgeth every son whom he receiveth. I mean, that sounds pretty heavy, but we actually need it, which is why he does it. If ye endure chastening, God dealeth with you as with sons. For what son is he whom the Father chasteneth not? But if ye be without chastisement, whereof all are partakers, then are ye bastards and not sons. Furthermore, we have had fathers of our flesh which corrected us, and we gave them reverence. Shall we not much rather be in subjection unto the Father of spirits and live? For they verily for a few days chastened us after their own pleasure, but he for our profit, that we might be partakers of his holiness. Now no chastening for the present seemeth to be joyous but grievous, nevertheless afterward it yieldeth the peaceable fruit of righteousness unto them which are exercised thereby. Wherefore, lift up the hands which hang down and the feeble knees, and make straight paths for your feet, lest that which is lame be turned out of the way, but let it rather be healed. And Scott works in the law office, and as do I, and we're in positions to learn different tasks. Scott is an attorney, and I as doing some bookkeeping and stuff. But do we not oftentimes find ourselves with our hands hanging down and our knees feeble in service there, and rather than lift them up and let them be healed, we leave the job undone? I mean, I speak of myself, but I suspect that's the easy route, and we've been able to get away with it because of Steve's graciousness to us. You know what I'm saying? And praise God for that. And it's a right thing on his part, but it's not there for us to continue there in not lifting up our hands and making straight paths for our feet, that which is lame. And I mean, we're talking some lameness here. honestly can be turned out of the way and get healed. I speak of my own self. I'm older than all of you all by a lot. And I have walked at my life with a certain measure of accomplishment and capability, and yet in that has not been the service and overcoming to the Lord that it could have been. In it, it was like what you were talking about, Scott, in my own strength, I'm going to get it done, and we can take a look at all the things we do. And actually, I mean, it's not like we haven't done some stuff. But when it comes down to the service of God, that's where we are lame. So back in Matthew, reading verse 19, after a long time the Lord of those servants cometh and reckoneth with us, and so reckoneth with them. And so he that had received 5 talents came and brought other 5 talents, saying, Lord, thou deliverest unto me 5 talents. Behold, I have gained beside them 5 talents more. His Lord said unto him, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things, I will make thee ruler over many things. Enter thou into the joy of thy Lord. He also that had received 2 talents came and said, Lord, thou deliverest unto me 2 talents. Behold, I have gained 2 other talents beside them. His Lord said unto him, well done, good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. I will make thee ruler over many things. Enter thou into the joy of thy Lord. Then he which had received the 1 talent came and said, Lord, I knew thee that thou art an hard man, reaping where thou hast not sown, and gathering where thou hast not strawed. And I was afraid, and went and hid thy talent in the earth. Lo, here thou hast that is thine. His Lord answered and said unto him, thou wicked and slothful servant, thou knewest that I reap where I sowed not, and gathered where I have not strawed. Thou oughtest therefore to have put my money to the exchangers, and then at my coming I should have received mine own with usury. Take therefore the talent from him, and give it unto him which hath 10 talents. For unto every one that hath shall be given, and he shall have abundance. But from him that hath not shall be taken away even that which he hath. And cast ye the unprofitable servant into outer darkness. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. I guess when you stop and you look at your life in direct correlation to the service that you give God through obedience to those who have the rule over you, which one of these ones are you, and which one of these ones am I? You know what I'm saying? I'm not talking about all the service you do, even as Scott spoke, that is tends to be the service you want to do or I want to do. But when it comes down to that which has been given us, be it the Word of God, be it a task to do, be it a go and do, whatever. I mean, it comes up in the spiritual and the natural. Are we profitable for God? Do we really walk in obedience to God? Or do we have our form of what God wants and we do that and call it good? You know what I'm saying? That's not a servant, and it's not a faithful servant. I looked up the word faithful because I like looking up words like that. And I get what faithful means. But I like seeing the synonyms, so to speak, because sometimes they spur me on afresh. And for faithful, it's a person who's trustworthy. Somebody who, a husband, an employer, a parent, can trust. Give a task to and trust them with it. Trust them to be a good steward of that task and to perform it to the profit of their Lord. Wicked. Verse 26, his Lord answered and said unto him, thou wicked and slothful servant. Well, wicked is, here's one of them, derelict. We know that one, don't we? Derelict in duty. How much have we been wicked in our performance of our duties? Vicious. Mischief, malice, bad, evil, grievous, harm, lewd, malicious, wicked. And why I came to this scripture in the first place is I wanted to read the context of... Actually, I haven't gotten that far. Let me continue down. When the Son of Man shall come in his glory, and the holy angels with him, then shall he sit upon the throne of his glory, and before him shall be gathered all nations, and he shall separate them one from another as a shepherd divideth his sheep from the goats. And he shall set the sheep on his right hand, but the goats on the left. Then shall the king say unto them on his right hand, Come, ye blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. For I was anhungered, and ye gave me meat. I was thirsty, and ye gave me drink. I was a stranger, and ye took me in. Naked, and ye clothed me. I was sick, and ye visited me. I was in prison, and ye came unto me. Then shall the righteous answer him, saying, Lord, when saw we thee anhungered, and fed thee, or thirsty, and gave thee drink? When saw we thee a stranger, and took thee in, or naked, and clothed thee? Or when saw we thee sick, or in prison, and came unto thee? And the king shall answer and say unto them, Verily I say unto you, inasmuch as ye have done it unto one of the least of these my brethren, ye have done it unto me. Now, I'm pretty certain that the only way I can do these things is when I am attentive and walking in obedience to the Lord, because there's many ways in which man serves and would consider himself having done this. And we see that in Matthew 7, Lord, Lord, look at all that I have done. But it is when, I mean, you stop and think of Jesus, who did he minister to? He ministered to a Samaritan woman. And in that he was ministering, he was fulfilling this. He ministered unto the adulteress. Now he told her to go and sin no more. But he forgave her. You know what I'm saying? He ministered unto the thief on the cross. These are these least in the kingdom type people, aren't they? If we obey Mark 16, which is called the Great Commission, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel. No matter what we see, if we serve the Lord, then, and as we do in accordance with His will in any given day, be it in a workplace, in a home, in our just service to God, He will call us good and faithful. Then shall he say also unto them on the left hand, Depart from me, ye cursed, into everlasting fire, prepared for the devil and his angels. For I was anhungered, and ye gave me no meat. I was thirsty, and ye gave me no drink. I was a stranger, and ye took me not in. Naked, and ye clothed me not. Sick, and in prison, and ye visited me not. Then shall they also answer him, saying, Lord, when saw we thee anhungered, or athirst, or a stranger, or naked, or sick, or in prison, and did not minister unto thee? Then shall he answer them, saying, Verily I say unto you, inasmuch as ye did it not to one of the least of these, ye did it not to me. And these shall go away into everlasting punishment, but the righteous unto eternal life. You know, if you think about it, as much as Steve never wanted to be really a practicing attorney, I get the impression that might not be Scott's first choice of how to spend his time, nor is it my first choice to do the work that I can do in support of that. Isn't it a perfect place to minister to needy people? I mean, when I was in prison, you came and visited me. You know, there's a lot of prison ministries, praise God. I'm not saying anything against them, but I know a few months ago, when Steve heard that a young man had gone to prison, and rightly so, he went and visited the parents and offered to help. Steve's got a lot on his plate. I mean, when did he find the time to do that? You know what I'm saying? You stop and think about it. Of all of us here, he performs more tasks every day than we do. I'm just tell you, not cutting any of us down, not saying that we should perform as many tasks as him, because I'm not saying that. But he found the time to go and offer assistance. And they received it, both legally as counsel, but more importantly, the counsel that comes through Jesus Christ. And they accepted the Lord and have continued to come. The Bible is clear that we don't know the day and the hour that Jesus is coming. And if you want to see an example of somebody who was moved with fear and without any support group served the Lord, Noah. He built an ark for 100 years. 100 years. But he believed what God said and was mindful every day to get working on that which God told him to do so he'd be prepared. And I don't know about you, but I'm not prepared for that day when the Lord comes. We know that when he comes to take out his faithful church, that it will be even as Elijah, where it's not like he's just going to come and take us. It's going to require a choice and a faith and a going on our part. Are you there? I mean, we need to be moved with fear as Moses was. And we need to know that if God gives us a task, if we're not going to perform it, what makes us think he's not going to take it from us and throw us into outer darkness? And when he says, I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me, that's what he's talking about. It's not that I can sow all things or garden all things or get everything I want done in a day, although, praise God, he does strengthen us because there are natural tasks that we have to do and there are things we enjoy doing, but it is in service to him that we can become people that he can trust to do what he has asked. And if we don't, what makes us think in that day when we say, Lord, Lord, he's going to say he knew us, right? The five virgins said that. Matthew 7, there's a whole congregation of people that say that. They acknowledge Jesus as Lord. They didn't serve him as Lord. And we're supposed to make plain his existence. We're supposed to walk believing it and our walk then manifesting it. And, you know, I think about how Paul wrote such an enormous amount of the New Testament. And Paul was a person who, first of all, God gave him by revelation the truth. But what he wrote wasn't solely the transcribing of the revelation of God. He also wrote the actual battle to come into agreement with God in that. And that was what was so remarkable about Paul, is that he was a hearer and then a doer, and he was not ashamed to give testimony to that fight so that others could have good success. But it is a fight, and it is one that the only way to do it is to die to the manifestations of ourself and our flesh at every turn. And the chastening of God is that which shows us where we need to do it. And we need to be strong and press in and be humble enough to do so and fearful enough to know that it's that important. It's, in fact, mandatory to do so. So let us do so. Amen.